Pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of the resurrection of Jesus, and we pray that as we come together this morning and turn to your word, you would open our hearts, that we would see the truth and the significance of it. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, I wonder what you think was the single greatest event in human history. Last week, I found a list drawn up by engineering professor Shane Ross, and some things on his list are the Ice Age, the rise of various great empires like the Roman, the Norman conquest of 1066, the European discovery of America in 1492, the dropping of the first nuclear bomb in 1945, and the recent invention of the internet. Well, according to the Bible, what we are remembering this weekend is the most important event in history. Jesus Christ, God the eternal Son, who became the Son of God and lived on earth, died on a cross and was brought back from the dead. As the angel said to the women at the tomb that first Easter Sunday morning, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." Well, this morning, especially this year when Eastern and Western Christianity share the same Easter day, something like a third of the world's population, some 2 billion people, are remembering this event and understand it to be the most significant event in history. But why on earth do people believe it? After all, once you're dead, aren't you? Well, just picture the scene that spring weekend in about AD 30. Jesus' disciples were absolutely devastated. They had great hope that this Jesus, whom they'd been following, was the Messiah foretold in their Bibles. He had seemed so remarkable. His teaching had been profound, his actions loving and powerful, illustrating his great words. But then it had all seemed to go horribly wrong. Jesus had been arrested, unfairly tried, mocked, and then executed by being hung on a gruesome Roman cross. Jesus was dead and buried. He was finished, and their hopes with him. Now, two of Jesus' followers, both called Mary, decided that they wanted to pay their respects in some way, and very early in the morning, they went to the cave tomb where Jesus' body had been buried. But they had a great surprise. When the women got to the tomb, they found that the large stone, which had been put across the entrance, had been moved. Matthew, the gospel writer, tells us how this happened. There had been an earth tremor as an angel appeared and rolled back the stone. Now, what the two Marys found was that the tomb was empty. The angel, who now was using the stone as a convenient seat, said, "See the place where he lay." The Marys could see that Jesus' tomb, the place where his dead body had been wrapped and laid to rest, was now empty. Now, do you remember what else the angel told the women? Keith began our service with these words: "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." Now, actually, the tomb wasn't completely empty. Yes, Jesus' body had gone, but the cloths that his body had been wrapped in were still there. And John, in his account of the resurrection, tells us that the cloths were in two neat piles. The only explanation for the way that they were laid out was that Jesus' body had passed through the burial cloths. You see, his body hadn't been unwrapped, or they would have been arranged differently. Now, Jesus' body had moved through the burial cloths as he was raised. Why do people believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Well, partly because his tomb was empty and no reasonable, really believable alternative explanation has been offered. But of course, there are other reasons why people believe Jesus really did come back from the dead. One is that people saw him alive. As the two Marys set off to tell the other disciples, we read, "And behold, Jesus met them and he said to them, "Greetings." And the Marys were the first of many witnesses who saw the resurrected Jesus. The other disciples, including Peter, and according to the Apostle Paul later in the New Testament, Jesus appeared to 500 people at one time, some of whom, as he wrote, were still alive to tell the tale. But not only was the tomb empty, and not only did people see Jesus, lives were fundamentally changed. Do you remember what happened to the Marys in our reading? When they arrived at the tomb, they were depressed and despondent. And then when the angel appeared, they were afraid. But after they saw the empty tomb, they were still afraid given the wonder of the occasion. But also they left to tell the disciples with great joy. The resurrection changed lives. The disciples had been sick with disappointment and hiding from the authorities in terror. But later they're described as those who turned the world upside down, risking and even giving their lives for the message of the crucified and risen Jesus. So why do people believe it? Well, Jesus' tomb was empty. He was seen alive, and the fact of the resurrection changed people dramatically, and indeed has done for 2,000 years since. But why is the resurrection of Jesus following his death on the cross so important? What does it tell us? Well, the resurrection, as we see in our reading, underlines the Bible's claim that Jesus is God, the eternal Son. After they'd seen the empty tomb, the women did what the angel told them, and they went to tell the other disciples. On the way, they meet the resurrected Jesus, and they see more clearly than ever who he was. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. You see, the two Marys, in a way that people at the time showed their devotion to a king, took hold of Jesus' feet. And Matthew tells us that they worshipped him. Jesus was no mere man. He was the divine king, God himself in the flesh, worthy of praise and devotion. The resurrection, then, is God giving evidence to prove what he had made clear in the Bible. Jesus is God himself who lived on earth and now, having been raised from the dead, is ruling from heaven and is worthy of worship and commitment. But also, Jesus is God the eternal Son who is going to judge everyone. That's something else the resurrection shows to us. When Jesus' messenger apostles go about teaching the message of Jesus after that first Easter, a key part of their message is that the resurrection proves that Jesus will one day return to be our judge. In our epistle reading from Acts, we read of Jesus' disciple Peter explaining that Jesus of Nazareth was put to death on a cross, but God raised him on the third day and made him appear to witnesses. And then he continues, "Jesus commanded us, his disciples, his apostles, to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead." Now, you know, that is good news because it reminds us that justice will be done and seen to be done in the end. Yes, people may seem to get away with things in this life, but in the end, Jesus will put right what is wrong. He will show what is right. He will show what is wrong. But of course, this is also very challenging to all of us because the resurrection is God's way of saying, "Wake up, people of the world. I made you. I love you. And one day you will stand before the one I have appointed judge, Jesus." The question is, how have you responded to him? If you fail to see him as he is and fail to rely on what he has done, you will face justice in the end because you have all turned away and fallen short of my glory. Now, this is a serious reality to consider on Easter Day, but one that the resurrection of Jesus brings directly before us. The resurrection shows that Jesus is God the eternal Son who is going to judge the living and the dead. Now, given this truth, what Peter goes on to make clear is great news indeed. And that is that Jesus is God the Eternal Son who can bring forgiveness of sins. So Peter continues in his sermon there in Acts 10. To him, Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Jesus' death on the cross seemed like a terrible defeat, but in fact it was a victory. In Jesus' death, God has provided a way for guilty, sinful people to be forgiven. If we believe in him, though we don't deserve it, we shall stand before Jesus our judge and be acquitted, because Jesus the judge has been judged in place of others. And Jesus' resurrection proves it. The wonderful reality of Easter is that for those who turn to him and believe in him, King Jesus makes available a royal pardon, forgiveness of sins. Just this last week, I read about a man called Bob Sheffield. In his younger days, Bob had played professional hockey in Canada. Now, as a sportsman, he was a rather feisty character and liked to fight, and found himself on one occasion in a police cell after a pub brawl. Well, some years later, Bob had settled down and had a responsible job, and he was offered a transfer with his work from Canada to America. Now, unfortunately, because he had a criminal record, he was refused permission to work in the US. Now, this was a serious problem for Bob, and he wondered what on earth he could do. Now, Canada, as most of us know, is a constitutional monarchy with Queen Elizabeth II as its formal head of state. And Bob discovered that he could apply for what is called a Queen's Pardon. So a thorough investigation was conducted, and then a while later, Bob received a formal legal notice in the post. It went like this. We have been implored on behalf of the said Robert Sheffield to extend a pardon to him. Know ye therefore that we are willing to extend the royal clemency on him. We have pardoned, remitted, and released Robert Sheffield from the said convictions and from all and every penalty to which he was liable. So from that time on, Bob, if he was asked if he had a criminal record, could honestly say no. Being pardoned meant that he had been released from any possible punishment that could come from the crimes that he had committed. And the record of the crimes themselves had been completely deleted. When his name went to the police computer, the printout would always come back reading, "No record." And you know, this is the kind of pardon that those who believe in the risen Jesus have. When we've received forgiveness by turning from our wrong attitude to God and relying on Jesus' death in our place, we're set free from any penalty or possible judgment that was due to us according to our crimes against God. When our name goes, as it were, through the heavenly computer, it will print out, "No record, pardoned by the death of Christ." And it's that reality that we call to mind as we share bread and wine in Holy Communion this Easter day. So can I ask, have you asked that what Jesus has won by his death on the cross and proved by his resurrection would be true for you? To be forgiven, to have your sins removed so that they're no longer held against you. Not because you deserve it by your efforts or your devotion, but because God is so extraordinarily kind and offers you a pardon on the basis of what Jesus has done in his death on the cross. What better day than Easter Day to open your hearts to him and to believe in him and to receive forgiveness of sins through his name? Well, what is the greatest event in human history? Well, unlike all the others listed in Professor Ross's list we mentioned at the start, the death and subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only event in human history that impacts every human that has ever existed. And that's because not only are there very strong reasons to believe that it happened, the tomb was empty, Jesus was seen alive and many lives were changed, but also because of what it shows. King Jesus is truly God in human form. He will one day be the judge of all. And yet for those who believe in him, he is the one who can give what we most need, a royal pardon, forgiveness of our sins, and life with God that lasts forever. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for Jesus, who died and rose again. We pray that you would open our hearts afresh to him this Easter time, that we might give ourselves to him and receive all the benefits that he has made possible, that we might live for him and know your grace and strength in our lives. And we pray for Jesus' sake.